I remember the first time I met this man up at Freeport High School, I believe. And we have been friends for a long period of time. And I really don't know truly a lot of backstory. Mr. Bill Peterson, and he's here today. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Tim.
How are you?
I'm averaging around 80%.
You know what? That's not too bad.
I don't want to peak too soon in the day.
Ooh, no, that's true. Sometimes or in the early days, I remember when Bill would be have the marching band, I would call him Big Bad Bill Peterson. And I remember one time his mom said, "Who is this Big Bad Bill Peterson?"
Yeah, my mom was always leery of that nickname. They would listen to the home football games.
That's the one I found she out. She was leery. I was done. I never said that again. Bill, you've done so much in this town. What year did you come to Freeport?
I came in the fall of 94. And the reason I was running the music program for the Phantom Regiment Drum and Bugle Corps. I'd been doing that since 93. And I was teaching at a school on the Illinois side near St. Louis, Breeze Modern Day High School. But that's a long commute. So I wanted to get closer to the drum corps, which would just make everything easier. And there was a job opening. George Daniels was moving to the middle school. And so I came up and interviewed with, you remember Principal Steve Fager?
I do remember Steve.
Yeah. And the interview was, he took me to Imperial Palace for lunch. And that was basically it.
So you were in Freeport for a while, and then you went to Michigan State, correct?
Yeah. So while I was with, because I was still doing Phantom Regiment while I was at Freeport, we won the world championships in 96. And so it was sort of destined that I would get out of public school teaching and go to, the college level and do all those things. And so I was at Michigan State for 2 years. It didn't really work out as a career. College doesn't pay what you would think it would. After 2 years, Jeff Lehman called and said, the band director job's open. Would you be interested in coming back? And so I came back, and I was still doing Phantom Regiment for another 4 years or so. I think my last year was 2001, but that became difficult to do the Freeport school job and Phantom Regiment, because those were really two full-time jobs.
And one of my favorite memories early on with Bill is he asked me if I would come over and do a sports cast for the Phantom Regiment people. And I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, these kids are working really hard. They don't really know the sports. You know, I do it all the time. You should come over and do it. Like, all right, I'll come over and do it. Had such a great time. The Phantom Regiment kids were so wonderful.
Yeah. This was, of course, before cell phones. This was had been in the 90s. My habit or tradition with the core members every morning was to read them the sports report, the lighter side of the news. And that kind of broke things down. And then we would talk about what we're going to accomplish that day and the preceding night's competition and those sorts of things. But it was just a way to, you know, a de-icer, as they would say. And so it was great to have a guest like you come in, because you have that sportscaster sound to you and everything, and the kids loved it.
It was fun. I remember standing outside of Boylan High School. It was great. Bill, you have so many groups. You've done so many wonderful things, not only in Freeport but elsewhere. And I don't know really where to start, but I'm going to kind of like throw one out there and pick it up. How did you decide to start the early jazz society?
I saw a need in the summer concert programs, both in Freeport and in Rockford. I was doing the Rockford thing, and there was also before I started at Freeport, instead of a jazz band, they had they called it a Dixieland band. So there was this music there, and I thought, well, I have access to this music. And there is a need at these events to have a different style and bring some life into it. And we couldn't find a name for a long time. We were the Evan Shock Seven for a while. if you remember Evan, he was our drummer for a summer.
I do.
We weren't a Dixieland band. We were what they call now a trad band or a traditional band. We do music from before the big band era, the early jazz stuff. And so it just kind of fell into it. There was a need. And then after we started performing a song at the summer concerts, then people were asking us to do concerts and to do longer programs.
You've done Pegasus and Jazz Band and all of these other ones. Great performances. I'm very partial to Bill Peterson and the HCC Big Band because of you coming down, not only to other areas, but to Music on Debate Square. But I think the thing that I just am floored by, number one, because I'm your friend and you asked me to sometimes do things. I did a Casey at the Bat perform thing once and did some other things. So I see all of these musical performers, not only in Freeport, but also in Northwest Illinois and Rockford and the suburbs. What a strong group of people. It just amazes me how tight everyone is. And it doesn't matter how far it's going to take them to come perform. They come in and they perform. What is that all about?
Well, I'm fortunate that they want to play in my groups. But there are certain things that I make sure of. One, I don't waste their time. And two, that I give them music that is rewarding to both them and the audience. So a lot of really good musicians will play in my groups. And I think the reason is they get to play in a group. They don't have to lead it. They know it will be a rewarding experience for them. And they know I won't waste their time. In fact, if anything, I under rehearse. My background of time efficiency, you just don't need that much time if you get really good players. And so like now, there are a couple of famous jazz musicians of the area, Ken Stein and Skip Green. You know, Skip played 50 years in Chicago as a pianist, and now he has a home in Stockton and he has a home in Chicago. And so he plays in the Highland Big Band. He plays in the early jazz. And Ken is a retired jazzer from the Rockford area. You know, Ken played with Bing Crosby and Bob Hope and all those guys. Wow. and all that. And Skip, you know, the stories he tells, you know, playing 6 hours a night in Chicago. But anyway, they like the feeling of being in a band again, being in a group, being one of them. And I've had people say, well, why don't you just let them solo? Why don't they do their own thing? They don't want that. They've done those things. They like the experience of being with the music team. And then, you know, I respect their time. And then I make sure that they have music that is going to be rewarding for them to play. You know, they still enjoy being turned on to new music. They're still learning the new stuff. And so I'm an avenue for that for them.
I love standing around, and you know I do because I'm right there with you guys when we're down at Debate Square, just standing around watching everybody set up and chat with one another and the jokes and the music and getting things squared away, ready to go. And then bam, there you guys are. And it's just professional after professional, just going crazy with that band.
Well, so many people that lead groups do it for their own attention, and that wears on the players. You know, this is paraphrasing an old phrase of hire people better than you and then let them do their job. But for me, it's, you know, get musicians that are better than you and let them play. It's the same sort of thing. And I don't want that sort of tense atmosphere. And it has very little to do with me. It's really putting the people together. I tell the groups all the time, and the students get tired of hearing me say this, but nobody remembers what you played. They remember how you made them feel. And the better musicians get that. And so they appreciate it. And it's fun for them. You know, John Hartman plays in a million bands. He still comes out whenever he can to play with the Early Jazz Society. And it's because it's fun. He gets to play a banjo. He gets to do something different. He has, doesn't have to solo. He doesn't have to, you know, do all those things. And so, yeah, when we played at the golf course a few weeks ago, it was a 3-hour gig and he just had a ball.
Yeah, I was there. We talked, John and I talked in the parking lot and he was so excited. He was so excited about it. He was kid-like when he was talking about it afterwards because of playing that banjo for so long. It was great. And the park band, Music Under the Stars, you not only direct two of the bands, but you also have an opportunity to play with the band too. What's it like to be not only a director of a group, but also basically sit with everyone and perform with them?
Well, I think it's healthy to be on the other side of the music stand every now and then, you know, to be on the playing side. Plus I get to goof around with the people in the band a lot more. They don't often see that side of me. So, that's kind of fun too. But it, you know, then I get a chance to play. I also get to see then what all the other conductors are doing because yeah, you always want to be learning. You always want to be growing.
And you also want the sun right in your eyes.
Oh. I have made proposal after proposal, but the sun hits me in those concerts until intermission, whereas 95% of the band is in shade. And I've got to figure something out because there was a concert this year. I was just seeing green dots when we were doing the intermission song with the Early Jazz too. And I was just like, I really can't see the music because I'm just seeing green dots. The sun's been in my eyes.
It was funny that concert because I know Becky Connors a little bit and Becky's sitting down the flute and the sun's hitting her, the individual that sits behind her, and then you. And you could see the three of you still wearing sunglasses.
Yeah.
So We've talked about some of these and great groups that you've created that you've been a part of and whatever. Now let's move into the high school. So you started in 94, went away a couple of years, you came back. How have you seen your career at Freeport High School? How have you seen it progress? How have you seen things move musically, and what are you proud of? What are you proud of with what you're doing right now?
Things are always evolving. Things always change. There's never any single two school years that are the same. And, you know, at Freeport, things change every year. And so I think I'm happy with, you know, it's adapt or die, and I've been able to adapt. You know, when the Iowa schools pulled out of Tri-Double-I, we tried to keep it going for a few years, and then we had to create our own thing, which is the Opus Project. You know, we created the World Arts Festival. The music program, the fine arts program, has to fit the community. And so I think I am sensitive to what the community wants and needs, rather than saying, this is the way we're going to run our program and you guys can show up if you like. You know, I think it's better when the school programs adapt to the community, which is why we're non-competitive. I mean, first of all, we're not going to compete with the suburban schools with the $1 million budgets because we don't have those resources. But two, nobody in our community would care. They want to go to a program and feel something. They don't really care if we come home with some trophy from some performance they didn't see.
What makes you happy? What makes you happy musically? What do you really, I mean, what's something that and not necessarily performance, but what just makes you smile and be happy when it comes to what you do?
Well, I don't usually smile. I am happy during the music making process. It's afterwards. And music is emotion through sound. And when we can create different emotions that many times are not definable to the audience, to the listener, then we've really achieved something. But I'm not one of those people that has to see places, or my bucket list is just about all musical things. Big band jazz, high level concert, some improvisational things. You know, when I was younger, I loved doing the drum corps for a period of time. And then, you know, it was time to turn that over to somebody else it was burning me out. But those different musical experiences, I can look back on my career and remember having musical moments where 40,000 people stood up at one time and just yelled and cheered. And other times when you see 10 or 15,000 people all just kind of move, and it looked like a big snake or a sea that was moving, and that just the different types of musical moments, the moments of introspection at the end of certain pieces, where you just know everybody who listened to what we just played is thinking. What they're thinking, you don't know, but you know that you have turned all their minds inward. Those are the things I chase.
Two more things really quick. What instruments do you play?
I play all the brass instruments. I play the trombone the best.
Is that your favorite instrument?
It's a love-hate relationship. I have never been as good at playing as I wanted to be. So there's that. But yeah, I am most comfortable playing that instrument.
I ask this to a lot of performers, so I'm gonna ask. There are a number of individuals in this town that probably have never gone to a band concert. And this is my last question to you. Why should they come to a band concert?
Are we talking about like a school band or a summer?
Doesn't matter. Just something musically.
So bands are linked closely to the history of the United States. The band instruments we play are mostly because those were the military band instruments. And so you had, in the Civil War, you had a band at the base where the families would come in and then they would play for a dance. Those are the instruments, and those are the traditions that, you know, still go on now. And to see that now, and that with students or whomever, the effort to make the music is the same now as it was hundreds of years ago. And so to watch that and then become part of that is worth it.
Bill Peterson, keep on chasing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.